Blog Talk Radio.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. Distressed or depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Let's speak life over ourselves today. Let our lives shine today. Let God be in charge today of your life. Speak life. Power of death and life is in the tongue. Are you speaking life today? Or are you just saying, I'm going to make it through? We got to let our life shine. Speak the word of God with boldness today. Speak life over your brothers. Speak life over your sisters. Speak life over yourselves. Speak life. As we move forward in God's word this morning, our light is going to shine. Let your little light shine today. As the children say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hallelujah. Are you letting it shine? Are you praying with boldness? Are you speaking with boldness? Are you speaking the word of God with boldness? Hallelujah. I thank God this morning for a new day. Father God, this morning I come to you thankful, grateful, and as always blessed to be your daughter, to be your child. Lord God, let your word go forth today in boldness. Let those that hear your word feel your word. Let the light of the Holy Spirit ignite in all of us today. That those that see us see you in us, God. See the boldness of the love of you in us, Lord God. That we will not be afraid to speak your word. We will not be afraid to call out darkness as you shine your bold light on it. Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you, Father God, to increase as I decrease. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength. I got to say it again. Father God, you are my strength. Lord Jesus, you are my strength and my redeemer. There is nothing I can do without you, Father. There is nothing I can do without the blood of Jesus. Father God, I ask you to come in as I decrease. Lord God, speak through me that the words that I speak are your words and not mine. Remove flesh, God, and replace with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for another day. I thank you for this day. I speak life today over all those that are listening, Lord God. No more loving to death, Lord. Let us love to life. In Jesus' name, I look up, lift up, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you hallelujah, hallelujah praise. For you are worthy, oh God, to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Still giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I could not be here with you this morning had it not been for the Lord God who was on and is on my side. As many know, I traveled the highways and the byways over the last few weeks. I just of course with help by my aunt. I think we probably drove over 18 hours to and from our destinations. But you know what? All I can say is lots of laughs, lots of fun, and just a lot of good times had by all. So thanking God for my family, thanking God for my mother and my aunt and my brother, and, you know, just family in general. And for those that were not with me on yesterday, I met a new friend on Saturday, and she was 2 years old, and the cutest little thing that anybody could ever, ever think to say, you know. And she had three other sisters, and I just call them the sisters, and they were adorable. And so praying for their mother today. She is going for an interview for a promotion, and we all pray that Sister Tina gets her promotion so that she can provide for her daughters. In Jesus' name, we lift them up. But this baby, you know, when moms are raising the children, right? The one daughter was having some issues, and my cousin was able to just calm her down, and she was a beautiful baby girl with a great smile. And I'm going to get to y'all understand in a minute. And so I gave them high fives, and I gave the little one a high five. And, you know, because we use sanitizer, our hands sometimes get dry. And I have a little crack in my left hand. And, you know, it was kind of red on Saturday. It's looking better today. But it was red on Saturday, and I gave her a high five, and she saw it. This baby turns my hand over and kisses it. And she says, "You got a boo-boo." And then, "Did you kiss my hand?" And she says, "Is it all better now?" Y'all know, I cried the drop of a hat. Then tears popped into my eyes, and I'm like, "Lord, this baby just asked me after she kissed my hand and she made my boo-boo better." 2 years old. Wet noodle time. Almost wanted to just bawl because it was the sweetest gesture that a little child shall leave them. I worked in children's ministry, and all I can say was that was so, it touched my heart so much that this mom had taught her baby that when you kiss a boo-boo, it makes it better. And some folks are like, "What's a boo-boo?" A boo-boo is anything, a great need. You know, where you hurt yourself and the parent kisses, it makes it better. I used to kiss my boys' boo-boos and make them better. So sometimes it's just the gesture that makes you feel better. Our Father God kisses our boo-boos, and he makes us feel better. When we fall, when we scrape our knee, when we break our wrist, whatever is going on in your life, understand that God is kissing your boo-boo and making them better. And when I, you know, went back to my family, and, you know, they went on to play in the park these days, a few minutes later, the mom comes over, Tina comes over, she says, "They want to know if they can get your number. They want to keep in touch." My cousin and I made an impression of love on these little girls that they wanted to keep in touch. And I took a picture of the four little babies and their mom. And when I went to look at it yesterday, there was this bright sun. It was like a halo in the background, and this light shining down on these children, especially her daughter that's very special, that God only gives to special people. This baby was glowing. I said, "Wow." Her and the two-year-old, the way the light just happened to shine on actually all four girls, these babies glow. They have the light of God in them. They have the love of God in them because they have the love of their mother who is doing everything for them. And it was like, wow. I sent a picture to the mom of this glowing baby. I said, she's your anchor baby. And this beautiful smile of children. Children are a gift from God. And we should never forget this. In all the stuff going on in our world, remember, children are a gift from God. They're not something to be discarded from God. So let your light shine. Speak in boldness. Don't be afraid of the world because the world has no hell or heaven to put you in. Don't let anybody take your joy. Have the joy of a two-year-old that is willing to kiss a stranger's boo-boo. Be gracious to God and watch God work in your life. Let your light shine. Words of encouragement. And how all this started is because mom was having a rough time. And I prayed for her. Prayer changes things. It changes lives. It changes and changes. Let God work in you. So let's get into our word this morning. As you know, we have been in the book of Acts. We started Acts chapter 1 up to chapter 4, verse 22 on Sunday. So we're back together again today in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23. And we're going to talk some boldness today. We're talking Barnabas. We're talking Peter. We're talking John. We're talking the whole works because these are some bold men. Our churches, our church, the Christian faith was started by some bold men who did not and were not afraid to die for the name of Jesus, who were not afraid to lose their life for God. And it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions. Because remember, Peter was arrested, he and John. So let's go actually back to verse number 18 into 22, and then we'll start. It says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. And what had been done? There was a man who couldn't walk, and he was begging for alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have we not, but they had, the word of God. They had what the man needed. They had everything he needed, and what they did was help him get up, help him walk in, and help him be saved. And because they thought of them, these Sadducees and Pharisees, the Dr. Revan, thought of them as uneducated and not knowing anything, found out something. Yeah. When you walk with Jesus, you learn a lot. Hallelujah. When you walk with Jesus, you learn a lot. And as they was coming out and it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders and said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. Did y'all catch that? One accord. And said, Lord, you are God. Hey, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The king took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And if you've ever heard Handel's Messiah, this scripture is in it. And it does something because it is a crescendo, and it goes down, and then it goes up. Why does the nation sing? And then why does, and then it goes back down. God, dang, dang. It's like, oh, yes. I love Handel's Messiah. It's my favorite. They do it at Christmas time, and it could be played all year round. It's just that good. And as we go into verse 27, it says, but truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do ever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. It's like we don't kill him. They already plotted to kill Jesus way before he stood before the crowd. They had already plotted. They had seeded the ground with negativity. They had seeded the ground with all of the things that they knew they were going to accuse him with. They had seeded the people, you know, with a lie. You tell a lie enough, and there is going to always be somebody that believes it. There's going to be somebody who's going to take that lie and run with it. A lie is a lie is a lie. And that's exactly what they did to Jesus. They lied on him. And then they crucified him. But we all understand it was for a purpose and a reason. Sometimes you got to let the lie play out so you can show it for what it is, a bald-faced lie. And as we continue, sisters, now, Lord, look on your threat and credit to your sons that with all boldness they may speak your word. Let your light shine so you may speak the Lord's word with boldness. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read that again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For truly against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Aaron and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. God makes a plan. God sent his son. Yes, they lied. Yes, they did all those things. But they did it because it was supposed to happen. Understand, everything happens for a purpose. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your words by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. And with great power the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought their proceeds to the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Jose, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now we all know Barnabas is the one that walked and talked and ministered with Paul. So let's keep it moving. Chapter 5 of the book of Acts. And it says, for a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. That was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in, found her, and carried her out and buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hand of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord. There it is again, in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow, come on now. You know when your light is shining and you have a shadow. The light of God is shining all over you, and it shines through you to give you a shadow. And Peter's shadow, they said that at least the shadow Peter passing by might follow some of them. Come on now, you know it's bold when your shadow heals a body, heals a soul. And a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened. Oh, come on now. Open, let me get back to my word. Ain't nothing like taking a Bible. Open the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and talked. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. They not there, y'all. They not there. They are not there. Let's keep it moving. I told y'all the word was so rich this morning. Are you letting your light shine? Are you speaking the word of God with boldness? Hallelujah. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, James. Thank you, John. Thank you, Apostles of Christ, for speaking boldly so we can speak boldly. And it goes on to say in chapter 5, starting at verse 22 of the book of Acts. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring the man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be cleansed and saved, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Hallelujah. Let your light shine. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When they heard this, they were fierce and plotted to them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. But if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Can y'all say amen? Hallelujah. They did not cease. We cannot cease preaching the word of God. It is just too important. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be bold as we speak it, as we teach it, as we read it. But thus you have called us to do for such a time as this, that the word of God must go forth with boldness. Hallelujah. I am so grateful this morning that God shows me. Hallelujah. I'm filled up this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to speak with boldness and not walk in fear, because what can men do? We got to speak God's word. It's so important. It's so important. This word is so important for our life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as we go into this word now, we're in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, for those that are just joining us this morning. And it is a bold word. Hallelujah. And it says this: now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, is it not desirable that we should leave the word of God to the table? Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then these arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedom, Cyrenus, Alexander, who's Cilicia in Asia, disputing with Stephen. and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place in the law. But we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfast at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Oh, his light was shining, y'all. His light was shining. Stephen's light was shining. And let's continue in Acts chapter 7. And it says, then the high priest said, are these things so? And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. You know, I wanted to add to that. Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Because Stephen's about to preach a word today. And it says that the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land, and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage, I will judge. Take it. Say God, and after that they shall come out and serve me in this place. Then he gave him the covenant of the circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now a famine and a great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first and set second time. Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to the Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and all his relatives to him, 75 people. So Jacob went down to Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers, and they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham brought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the sons of Shechem. When the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them oppressed, exposed their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. Come on now. Stephen is giving a history lesson. You got to know your history. You got to know where you come from. And as he continues to say, Moses was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him. who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptians. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed them away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. As he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard them groaning. I have come down to deliver them, and I will send you to Egypt. This Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make us gold to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol and rejoiced. Ooh, you better preach, Stephen. And rejoiced in the works of their own hands. And God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Raphael, images which you made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Wow. And we have read this morning, starting in Acts chapter 2. Actually, Acts chapter 3. And I am filled up this morning. God is in charge of everything. And when we know our history, it can't be repeated, even though there are those that will try. You have to know where you come from. And as we start this morning in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 18, we have read up to Acts chapter 7, verse 43 this morning. Because God said to speak his word with boldness. We will be in the Old Testament tomorrow and on Sunday. And we'll be back to normal next Monday, God willing. I will not be doing a 7 a.m. show on Friday. I have a dentist appointment. I was doing something I was not supposed to do, which was eating something sticky, and it pulled my crown off. So I have to go get my crown replaced. So I just say to you this morning, family, as we have moved forward in God's word in the book of Acts, we got to choose godly counsel. We got to choose to do what's right in the sight of God. We're going to go back over some life lessons this morning. And I, as you can tell, I'm filled up because Stephen, what did he say? He had the faith like an angel. He was not afraid. He was young, but he spoke with boldness. Some of us are old and we will not open our mouth to, as they say, say a mumbling word. We got to learn to speak up and speak boldly to those that want to not do what's right. God is in charge of everything. 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 Are you trusting in him today? Are you doing your own thing? I'm doing me. No, we can't do me. We got to do Jesus. And as we go through some life lessons today, this life lesson from Acts chapter 4, verse 29, grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. In a world that does not respect God or honor Jesus, we must pray for boldness and strength to represent him well, and by our words and actions draw some into a saving relationship with Christ. Are you in relationship? I want to be in a close, you can't be me relationship with Jesus. I love the song, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done. I love you, Jesus. And I'm not afraid to tell everybody about my Savior. And it goes on to say, Barnabas, always an encouraging word. Wherever Barnabas went, people's faces lit up as a light. They knew that his presence brought a kind word, a helpful suggestion, and a load of encouragement. In fact, that's how he got his name. He was born Jose or Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. Reassuring and cheerful ways soon prompted the apostle to give him the nickname Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Acts 4:32. Without Barnabas, there might never have been an apostle Paul. It was Barnabas who introduced Saul to the church when everyone else was afraid of him. And when the apostle sent Barnabas to check up on a young church, he encouraged them all with his purpose of heart. They should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Don't you agree that we should use a few more believers? We could use a few more believers like Barnabas, who let his light shine and spoke, woo, hallelujah, with all boldness, the word of God. And as we go into the next life lesson is from Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. But note, they prayed. We've got to pray. We've got to study this word. We've got to read this word, and we've got to speak it with boldness, like Stephen. For believers regularly coming together for earnest prayer, God does amazing things in response to the faith-filled congregational prayers of his people. We got to pray together. Hallelujah. Churches closed up, and some have still not opened because of COVID. Some closed up and will never open again because the congregation died with COVID. From the pastor to the musician passed away because of COVID. We've got to understand. We've got to come together. together and not in fear. Faith over fear. Did I not command you to be strong and courageous? Isn't that what God tells us? Isn't that what he told us in his book? Isn't that what he told us in his word? Isn't that what he told us in Joshua 1 and 9? He commanded us to be strong and courageous. We cannot walk in fear, but we walk in faith and we walk with the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We got to not be afraid of the valley of the shadow of death. We got to fear no evil, for the Lord is with us wherever we go. Didn't he tell us that? We got to believe it. And if we get into our life's questions, it says, what place should money take? So remember, we just talked about Ananias and Sapphira. All they had to do was just tell the truth. Peter wasn't thinking, it wasn't even about the money. It was about the truth. It was about speaking the truth. That was it. He could care less about their money. All they had to do was tell the truth. Yes, we kept some apart for some other things we had to do, but this is what we gave to the church and left it alone. But instead, they lied. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in this life question. What place should money take in my life? But some money becomes central. They worship money, which means that they devote most of their time, energy, and attention to its gain and use. They regard money as the key to power and prestige. Oh, I'll never worship the idol of finances, you may say, but ask yourself these questions. How much time do I spend every day thinking about my financial life, my income, my bills, my past and upcoming purchases, my investments? In comparison, how much time do I spend meditating upon God's word? That'll convict you right there. How much time do I spend every week working, shopping, or dealing with money? Be sure to include trips to automatic teller machines and the bank. Discussions with your spouse about budgets or spending plans and habits and the time you spend paying bills and balancing your checks account. In comparison, how much time do I spend in prayer, reading my Bible, or participating in church-related activities and outreach? Am I more likely to discuss with my family and friends a hot spot tip and cost of an item, or a new business opportunity, or an insight I have into God's word, the major truth of last Sunday's sermon, or a way in which the Holy Spirit has helped me during the day, which conversation is more likely to attract a greater amount of my energy, enthusiasm, and concern? You may say that you trust God in every area of your life, but do you ever conduct business transactions, make purchases and investments, and enter into money-making opportunities without asking God's opinion or seeking God's wisdom? When you leave God out of your financial life, you are in grave danger of making money your idol. So how can you make sure you don't fall into such a daily trap? You can begin by just focusing on Philippians 4:19, where God promises to supply all your needs. All of us have very specific needs, emotional, physical, material, mental, and spiritual. God knows that our needs must be met. Matthew 6:32. If we are to carry out the complete life plan he has ordained for us by making intimacy with God the number one priority in life, you can be assured that he will meet all those needs. Jesus said it like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Acts 5:11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon who heard these things. The fear of God purifies the church and puts it in its reverent frame of mind that encourages God to do amazing things to it. When we fear God, the fear of God will never dissuade us from doing God's will. We got to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. Do you fear God today? Are you standing on his word today? Are you believing today? Are you letting your light shine today? Hallelujah. And as we go into life lessons from Acts 5, verses 38 through 39, if this is a man, it will come to nothing. But if it is a God, you cannot overthrow it lest you fight against God. Gargamel, great wisdom was founded in the principle that whatever is done outside of God's will cannot last. However, whatever God does is eternal. God's great plan will never fail. So obey whatever he tells you to do. Amen, Dr. Stanley. Verse number 41 of chapter 5 of Acts. They departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Our culture looks at shame as an almost entirely negative thing, but the Bible consistently recognizes the shame of being identified with Christ as one of the greatest possible blessings. You know, and that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. You know, count it all joy to be counted among Jesus' disciples. Count it all joy to be a believer. I'm a believer. There's a song out there that says, yes, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. And we got to believe. Are you a believer this morning? Are you letting your light shine? Are you speaking the word of the Lord with boldness? As we go into Acts 54, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Church leaders and teachers in particular must never skimp on their time spent in prayer and in God's word. They will receive a stricter judgment, James 3:1. They need to make sure they stay close to God. Hallelujah. I trust in God. I'm staying. You know, as I talked about the other day about my uncle and I, that's how I feel with God. I'm going. You know, I'm with you. Wherever you going, I'm going. You know, I was with my uncle. I would say, I'm going. And he said, you can't go. I'm like, yes, I can. And that's how we have to have a yes, I can in our spirit when it comes to our salvation. Yes, I can be saved. Yes, I can do what God called me to do. Yes, I can speak with boldness. Yes, I can be the best I can be. Yes, I can. We got to have our can do it for God in our spirit. Acts 6:11, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Just as the opponents of Jesus instructed witnesses to testify falsely against the Lord, so the opponents of Stephen followed the same strategy. Interestingly, neither man tried to refute the false charges because they knew that ultimately God would bring the truth to light. You can't be afraid of liars and backstabbers. What's the song say? Smiling faces tell lies. They don't tell the truth. Stephen was not afraid. He was not afraid. And he did not walk in fear. He walked in praise of God. He walked in praise. And as we go to Acts chapter 7, verse 5, even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for possession. God's word of promise often appears when all hope seems lost. Being so old, how could Abraham ever expect to have a son? Yet it is in the midst of the impossible that God's best shows us his wondrous power and teaches us faith. And our last life lesson for today is this. And it says, God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh. Stephen reminded his audience that Joseph had been persecuted by his own brothers, but that God used even their evil deeds to bless them. God always blesses obedience. But note that while Joseph lived, Stephen died. But Stephen died for a purpose. And Stephen died for a reason. He died because he loved God. He died because he put his trust in the Lord. Are you putting your trust in the Lord today? Are you speaking the word that God has given you today? Are you knowing that you are his daughter, you are his son, and that your light must shine? Let your light shine today. Let your light shine over the darkness of this world. Let the truth set you free and know that you are special to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, this morning for all of you. Thank you for listening in today. And our last life lesson from Stephen is this. Moses, whom they rejected, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer. Just as the Hebrews initially rejected Moses and the religious leaders renounced Jesus, people who truly love and serve God may feed them from the very ones they are trying to help. Therefore, don't be discouraged when you face resistance. Obey God, and he will show everyone that he is the one working through you. Thank you so much, family. That's our word for this morning. Life lessons, life examples. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. We will be back together tomorrow in the Old Testament. We will be back in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. Yes. We will be in chapter 7 of 2nd. Nope. God, forgive me, Lord. Thank you, Father. Tell me where I'm going. Tell me where I'm going. We will be in Psalms, and then we will be in 1 Chronicles chapter 9. So thank you. Let's get a prayer in and a word from our sister, and we are going to work. At least I'm going to work. Hallelujah. So believe, 23rd day of June. I still can't believe it. It says selflessness. Let each of you look out not only for its own interest, but also for the interest of others. Is it like the Lord just knows what to say? And it says, God of compassion, thank you for your affection that goes beyond any boundaries that we set. Your limitless love goes farther than the farthest reaches of the galaxy. Your endless supply is always accessible, taking my cues from you. I look to those in front of me, considering their interests as well as my own. I don't want to be small-minded in the way I live my life. May I live with intentionality, giving away kindness, like it's going out of style, except it never will. When my vision gets narrow and I can only see my little section of the world, I pray for eyes to view the bigger picture, to really see the people around me in a world full of self-centeredness. May I live consistently with unity as the goal. Thank you, Lord, that I was made to operate in a family and a community, working with others. How can you act selfless today? Remember, they were in one accord. And let us be in one accord as well. Thank you so much. And before we get out, we have about a minute left. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I did not get a word this morning from Sister Carolyn, but I'm sure we will have it on tomorrow. So Sister Carolyn's word will come tomorrow, but I thank you for everything, for everything, for everything, for everything. God bless you all. God watch over you. May the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're asking one from each other in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Let your life shine today. Let those acts of kindness roll off, be in one accord. As you go to your churches this evening, let God use you for his glory. Be bold and speak the word of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let your light shine. Speak the word of God with boldness. Be blessed, family, and have a blessed and wonderful day. What is going on, y'all? It's time for me to go to work. I love you all, and have a great day. Thank you so much. God bless you. It's a wrap.